Get in there.
Didn't say anything. But God, he's been so good to me. In 23, he changed a lot of things in my life. He taken things off of me and away from me. And this year, I can't wait to see what he's going to do for me this year. I'm looking at, you know, he's going to take more and more stuff away. And now, these sermons the past couple weeks has been powerful. Amen. It's uplifted me. It's given me strength. Amen. And just when I think Brother Moore and the ministry can't break down salvation any simpler,
my goodness,
he does.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you could get it any more simpler than a couple Sundays ago.
Yeah.
But, man, that was simple. And, you know, I was listening to this song on the way to church tonight by a group called Need to Breathe. It's called Testify. And it says, come to the fountain and testify.
Yes.
Come to the fountain and give your heart and soul. Come to the fountain because that's where you're satisfied. Amen. Come to the fountain and testify. You know, this message satisfies my soul.
Yes, it does.
I'm not looking for anything else. Amen. I'm not looking for any other church. And, you know, I'm bound and determined to endure to the end. Because he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, Amen. You can't endure to the end if you don't have a seed.
Right.
Only the seed of God can make it to the end.
That's right.
And I'm just happy to be here and praise God.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. Let's sing Psalm 35, In the Presence of Jehovah, Key of C. It's good to be here. Out of situations that tug of war in me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. Then I come to his presence, and all my questions become clear, and for that sacred moment, there's no doubt that can interfere. Answers in hours of distress. grass. Now there is never any reason for you to give up in despair. No reason at all. Just slip away and breathe his name. He will surely meet you there. In the presence. Hallelujah. I needed that. I was singing that song Amen. All day, so I was going
to
get that.
Amen. You know, I'm thankful to have a revelation. Thankful he's revealed himself to me, you know, an understanding that is beyond. You know, we try every service to express it, you know, to somehow put it in words. Can't do it. And you can say the words, and somebody can believe the words, and you look at them and say, they're not seeing what I'm seeing. I just, you know, so... I'm thankful that it's this real. I'm thankful it does get simpler and simpler. You know, that's how I know it's him. It becomes more. It's going to get so simple that we're just going to walk through that veil. You know, and that's what we're looking for. And I'm thankful that it's real to me. It's, he's provided everything. You know, some of the song maybe I can't identify with too much. You know, I don't have a lot of questions. I don't struggle every day. I'm not in and out of, you know. I'm just in. I know who I am. I know. You know, I dwell in full light. So there's no darkness can dwell here with me. You know, and that's beautiful. You know, and Satan tries to, you know, he's got one goal, and that's to get a believer to stop believing. That's his only trick. You know, everything else just leads up to that. But I can't stop believing. You know, if it were possible, he could deceive me. But it's not. And, you know, good days, bad days, you know, and when I say that, I'm saying, you know, maybe you have to deal with things, you know, and we just deal with things.
That's it.
Because all things work for my good.
Yeah.
He's raised up a way of escape, everything I come through, you know, he's got the answer. He always leads me through it. So I'm a happy man. I'm a very happy man. Praise God.
Amen. You know, I just laugh because... You know, the devil will try to trip you up on some things, and I don't even like to even bring up his name because he's just not where we are. This eighth day is where we are, and he's just not allowed there,
No.
And so, like, it's just funny all the things that try to trip you up during the day. And it's, you could tell it's Wednesday or it's Saturday night, you know, because it's just the pressure's on, you know. And it's funny because I went to go and stop and get something to eat for the kids, so I stopped at the place I've been trying to stay away from, which was McDonald's. And so they messed up the order. I got all the way home. They messed up the order. I was like, So things were kind of, you know, I wanted to go back and get it right, you know. I want them to make it right. And so I went back, you know, kept a good attitude and stuff, and they replaced everything. But it's just the little things that try to trip you up from getting to the house. And I just have to laugh. I used to get so bent out of shape. I used to lose my head. You know, a woe is me, you know, but now I look at it and it's just so funny. It's something this good It wouldn't be this good if he tried to keep you away from it. If there's right. little things that just come into your way that just try to keep you from getting through those doors, this thing must be good.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started thinking about my walk. See, it only takes a little bit, like you said. It only takes a little bit. Just let me think about the things that he's done for me. I can remember. Thank God for Brother Childers. Okay? Amen. Thank God for that man. Because if it wasn't for that man, I would not be here today.
That's right.
I literally got to meet this man. Okay? On a work day. And I met him, and then things, just life happens, you know? And then just God structured it to where he would have to meet John and bring him to church. And me and John were looking for, we didn't even know what we were looking for, but we were looking for stuff. Amen. We were looking for something, answers, you know? Didn't even have a clue. I just wanted to go to heaven. But now I found out that oh my goodness, this was beyond what I could have thought it was for me.
Right, right.
I would have cut myself short, way short, just to go to heaven. No, I find out that I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. Then I come here, I sit right where Brother Jerry Allen's sitting, first service, talking about that serpent seed, and I just couldn't see it any other way.
Amen.
And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful.
Yes, yes.
Because it was him that brought me here. I didn't even know what I was following. I was following my own little twisted desires. Let's just put it that way. That's what helped me stumble in this place. And I got to thank God because, man, it's like he plays it so close to the chest. I mean, one nick the other way, I wouldn't have had this. I could have just been like everybody else out there in the world. Had I not just listened and just sit put, like with Ruth. You know what I loved about Ruth? She didn't want to be alone. She left with Naomi. She went with her. Right. She just didn't want to be alone. Isn't that the same desire God had from the very beginning?
That's right.
He just didn't want to be alone. Oh, my goodness. God bless you, brother. Sir. My goodness.
You know, when you start talking about eighth day, you start speaking my interest. You know, you can't help but, you know, I come here to fellowship.
Amen.
I come here. This is my day. This is my spiritual weekend. I get to let my hair down. You know, I get to have a good time. I get to come, even though it's been a crazy day, but it's been a good day.
Yeah.
It's been a good day. I love that. There's not a negative testimony anymore. You know, I was just thinking, you know, talking about the eighth day, I was like, it's cold. I wanted to grill today, and the propane was out. So I was going to get propane because when I set my mind to something, I'm going to do it.
That's right.
I went to Speedway, got propane, and the lady was real short with me. I was like, Lord, I don't know what she's doing, but touch her. And I've also, part of me is like, well, it's 5:30. I got to get this cooked. I got things I got to be. So she's like, well, the lock's frozen. I don't have time to worry about it. I was like, okay. I went across the street to Dollar General, and the lady was so sweet. She's like, honey, why don't you come in here? I'll check it out. If it's frozen, we'll get it unlocked.
Right.
If it's not working, I'll find a way to fix it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was like, okay, thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Because you know what? In the eighth day, it's a rest.
Yeah.
The work's done.
Oh,
you know, in the seventh day, people work. That's how you know they haven't made it to the eighth day, because they're working still. They're trying to produce something. Eighth day, you're chill. You're just sitting back like, you know, this is my service.
Amen.
This is my service. I didn't come in here to sit down on God. I didn't come in here to not put my seasoning
That's
in
right.
this. I came in to worship him.
Yes.
He's given me a breath of life.
Amen.
He, above all things, gave me a revelation.
Amen.
An understanding. Amen. You got people out here trying to look for something, trying to fill in the blanks, like, well, you know, trying to do their own thinking on it.
Yeah.
But you can't put your thinking on it.
Nope.
That's what I love about 2024. It's like, you know what? I have no thinking. I pray different. I'm like, Lord, pour me out. I'm nothing. I am nothing but an empty vessel. You can choose to walk in these doors and keep your thinking. Or you can drop it and pick up something greater. You can be a blessing, or you can just be. I want to be a blessing. You know, where two or three are gathered, and there's a lot of people in here. This is a mighty bride. You should really be counting yourself a blessing. Understanding of who we are this day and age.
Come on.
Like, nobody else walks in here knowing that there's a rapture coming. No one else knows that it's already been done. There's no work to be done. What are you going to do? What is there left to do? What scripture still needs to be fulfilled? Last I heard, it was nothing. I also know the fact that if I come in here, I'm going to hear from God. An expectation.
Yes.
You talk about benefits. Oh, Lord, you know, when you start a new job, you get those benefits. You sign up for them.
That's right.
But you know what? You can waive those benefits.
Yeah.
You can waive them.
Oh, yeah.
You can waive them. And it won't cost you anything to waive them.
No.
You'll save money, in fact. But I tell you what, it costs something to do it.
Yeah.
And I will pay any price. No price is too small. No,
right.
No left or right. Yeah, I'd use this like, well, I didn't have an understanding. I didn't have a revelation. It wasn't revealed to me. But when it says revealed to you, you can't help but see it.
That's right.
You couldn't unbelieve it if you tried. Because that nature's been changed. The old man's not driving no more. There's been a death. It's a complete eradication of that nature. It's not a matter of like, well, we'll just change it. That's what the church would want to do. They want to put clothes on a pig. It's still a pig. You let that pig go out there, wallow in the dirt. It's filthy. If you have to have a shower, if you have to put deodorant on, you have to be in here. If you start smelling fresh, because there's still two other realms that still need to be changed. There's still two realms. Well, I always think it's if we keep things, you know, short, simple, and sweet. There's three. One's perfect. Check. But I have a promise for two other perfections coming. Not a matter of like, well, you know, maybe do I have to work something? It's done. I'm resting. I have never been more restful.
Amen.
Satan is just raising his. It's funny because he's like, well, we'll throw confusion. We'll throw distractions.
Yeah.
We'll social media. I ain't got social media. I have no connection to this world. No connection. And I could be successful. I could make money. I don't even care. I went to a corporate meeting today with the big wigs, the CEOs and all that stuff. And they're talking about networking and management and moving up. My heart wasn't there. I was like, this world is not my home. From the moment I woke up, because this is real. I woke up and I was like, Lord, you gave me breath.
Amen.
Where there's breath, there's life.
Amen.
I don't want to take anything for granted. The fact that if I can't walk, I will walk for God until I can't walk. I will stand for God till I can't stand. I am tired of me trying to think that I have anything to give. It's nothing but filthy rags.
Amen.
Was by him, his grace that he saw me, his foreknowledge, that he knew what I would do with it. He knew that I wouldn't sit on that pew. That's the beautiful thing about foreknowledge. We're such a strong bride. I love the fact that I see each and one of you guys, and I see a believer.
Amen.
There was a time where you'd have to look at a certain person because, you know, they wouldn't agree with you. But we are a mighty group of people. We're one mind and one accord. We are believers, and I just love this message, and I just love the fact that it's humbling. It's not a holier than thou. It's not a big me, little you. I walked just a small block, and I was like, Lord, thank you for heat. I'm not homeless. If you can't thank God for revelation, for a new birth, for an understanding.
Come on.
Thank you for the fact that you have clothes on, that you have electricity and food.
Man, come on.
You're not starving. You're not cold. Not only are you physically taken care of, but you're spiritually taken care of. You are complete. What else do you want?
Amen.
What else are you looking for? If you're going through this life and you're not fulfilled, and if you have nothing to give back,
come on.
What are you looking for? Because you won't find it. I've looked out in the world. It's not there. All that's going to get you is confusion and have you come right back through these doors with your tail tucked between your legs. But you know what? If you come back in, God still loves you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you can still get back up and it doesn't affect your testimony. In fact, it makes it stronger.
That's right.
In fact, it makes you stronger because what you go through, a believer will be tempered. You won't break a believer. You will not break a believer.
That's right.
A believer will get up and they'll be like, well, I did it wrong. And they'll turn.
Yeah.
And it's not a complicated thing. It's not a process. It's not a matter of, I'm going to die to myself. No, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Even if I can't, I remember Brother Neil would get up here. Even if I can't do it, it's 100% the truth. He laid his hands on it. He identified with it. And he had a promise. That same promise I tie myself to. That same revelation throughout the ages. That same understanding I have plus more.
Amen.
All the benefits plus.
Amen.
I'm not confused.
We're in the surplus.
What? In this day and age, where people don't know who they are, what they are,
yep.
You know exactly what you are. You don't sit there and you're not, I don't even know what pronouns to use. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I'm not tossed. I'm not turned. I know how to love them. I know how to right and divide them. I'm not even judging. They're judging themselves. They come across me. They'll either turn to the left or they'll go to the right. That's it. There's literally no work you're doing. So I'm thankful for being an eighth day bride.
Amen.
Yes.
Because it is so nice not to have a dual work. Just to say, you know, if you only believe. If you only believe, if you can only just put your hands on it and just identify with it, that's all. Just an understanding. And even a believer can't help but say amen. Because it'll start off small, you'll be like, well, that's true. Amen. Next thing you know, I can't even tell you when I was. It changed. It was. I was just like, I don't. They're like, when were you born again? I'm like, they want a date. It was December 17th, 1996. I was sitting there, and the pastor said this. Now it has changed my life. That means that there's a start. There's no start to this nature. This is eternal. You saw that timeline. Brother Moore talked about the timeline.
Yeah.
This little, he said, your life, your 80 years is a blip.
Just a blip.
It's not even a bump. It's a blip. Blips, you can't even quantify a blip. It's like when we talk about bacon, it's like a pinch. What's a pinch?
Right.
What is that? It's not a teaspoon. But Lord, I just want to get up. I just want to, I want to take the time.
Yeah.
This is my service.
Yes.
I can't come in here and say, I'll wait for somebody else to say it. I'm going to be the one that says, get up, little bride.
That's right.
I'm the one calling for the dead up.
Amen.
They're going to hear my voice if they hear nobody else. That's the kind of power and revelation that we have. We're calling the dead up. It's not going to be just, wait for Brother Moore to say it, then I'll just say amen.
No.
I know Brother Moore will tell me more information.
Oh, yeah.
He'll tell me to teach that run that corner. I'll run that corner, and I'll follow him right there. I'll follow him right there. Because I know where the leadership comes from. I know how the fivefold ministry works because of a revelation.
Yes.
So when I come in here, I'm not confused.
No.
And if you have nothing else to be faithful for,
I look forward.
A sound mind.
That's right.
A sound mind.
Right.
And
a day
and age, the mind age.
Yeah.
Lay out of sin.
Yeah.
Need not of anything. Yeah. Increase with goods.
Fine.
What are we looking for?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking for a body change.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I had, like Brother Jeremiah said, I still have work to do, but the work is done. You know what I'm saying? Only a revelation can understand that. There's still work to do, but the work is done.
Yeah.
If you get up, you have a job to do. Eventually, my job's done. It's just so nice. You can sit back. The seats can't even hold me. And eventually, this realm won't be able to hold me. So, Lord, I am excited for tonight.
Amen.
I'm excited to hear from God. I don't care what skin he comes in. I don't care if it's young, it's old.
Right.
If it's male or if it's female,
right.
If it's old or it's young,
no respect.
If what color it is, I know how God talks.
Amen.
You know, God talks to you. He, you can't help. You start getting, you get hot. Like it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Man, it's getting hot.
Yeah.
You can't help but start moving around.
Man,
that's right.
You know, you go to a church without God, and they're sitting there like, amen. So, 15 minutes, I'm done. You know, that's man. Man puts a time on it. Man tells you they're going to talk about, we're talking from Psalms 14:10. I don't even know what that says, but we just literally flip through the Bible. There we go. No, I know God's living. I got to greet God at the front door. I got to see God as I walk through here. I got to hear God talk about, thank God for revelation. Thank God that it wasn't me. I know where God's at.
That's right.
You can't help but see him.
Remember God.
So, Lord, I just want to say thank you for
a
revelation. Thank you for an opportunity that you get to say something. Because, like Brother Moore said, not all churches get this opportunity. And you know what? Thank God that even if I can't do it right, it's still 100% the truth. Everything that comes across this pulpit, even if I can't live up to this flesh, it will be okay because there's a magic fix for that. It's called a body change. If it, don't worry about it. That's why it's not on our plate. Because that's not the emphasis.
Right.
The emphasis is the body change.
Right. Right.
You don't. We're over here worrying about what we look like, what we sound like, what we act like. Christ will manifest himself.
Amen.
He can't help but manifest himself.
That's right. That's right.
He will manifest. That word will manifest itself out. All your job is get out of the way.
That's
get
right.
your thinking out of the way.
Amen.
Get your life out of the way.
Amen.
The more you hold on to it, all you're doing is you're just holding yourself down. I'll never forget that Wednesday service when it just clicked because Brother Jeremiah said, you can't even raise your hands if you're, you're literally, I'm a visual learner.
Yeah.
If your hands are full with baggage, what, holding a baby, you're holding a baby, little Henry, it's heavy. You hold it for a while, it's heavy. The muscles burn. But you put that burden down.
Yeah.
Right.
If you hold on to that burden when you walk out of here tonight, that's your choice.
That's your choice.
God's not a rapist. He won't force it on you.
Yeah.
He will never force it on you. It is a willing love story.
Yeah.
It's by revelation that you love him. That you, you know what, God, what else can I do? You know, I pray different. I'm like, Lord, take my hands. When I pray, I'm like, Lord, thank you for another day of life.
Yeah.
Thank you for another. I'm not suicidal. While I'm here, I'm going to enjoy it.
Oh,
I love what God's done. This is God's beautiful earth. I love the blessings he's given me, both the small and the large, both the fact that the temperature's nice in the house, there's food, there's electricity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the warmth. Thank you for the benefit. Thank you that if I didn't have it, I had a body who would give it to me.
Amen.
If you have not, because you ask not.
That's right.
Why are we limiting ourselves?
Yeah.
We are literally putting ourselves into boxes. You are God in flesh. You said it.
Yeah.
You come here and you agree with it.
Amen.
So why not express it?
Yeah.
Why not manifest it?
Yeah.
And all it takes is just one step. You don't have to be anything big. It's just, you know what? I am one of them.
Amen.
I identify with it.
Yeah.
Brother Branham says, if you only believe.
Yeah.
How do you believe?
He can anoint that.
You've got to actually put your hands on it.
Yeah.
They put their hands on the sacrifice. They had to put their hands on the sacrifice. Yeah. Physically put their hands on the sacrifice.
That's right.
They couldn't sacrifice by proxy.
Right.
That was part of pushing that sin back until the perfect sacrifice was made.
That's right.
They had to put their hands on it.
Right.
And it wasn't a sacrifice if you didn't identify with it.
Right.
So identify with this.
Yes.
And it's sweet in the mouth.
Amen.
And it's bitter in the belly.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Amen.
That's a scripture.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't lie.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't lie.
That's right. Yeah.
But I'm not looking for a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
I see the world moving, and I'm not sitting there trying to look for followers. I'm not trying to build churches. I'm like, Lord, take my hands.
Yeah.
Touch my heart. Touch my mind. Touch my mouth.
Yeah.
Let me speak more like
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Yeah.
I may not, let me act Christ-like.
Amen.
Small things. Those are the natural. But it's because of that revelation, that change, that even changed my desire.
Amen.
Because if it starts with that, because you try to do something, well, what I'll do is I'll quit smoking and drinking, and I'll do this and I'll do that, and you'll mess it up every time.
Yeah.
You'll mess it up every time because man can't do it. If man could do it, then man would have. We wouldn't need God. We don't need God if man can do it.
Yeah.
But man can't do it.
Amen.
Man can never do it.
No.
Man messes it up 100% of the time. That's why we needed a perfect sacrifice.
Right.
So I'm thankful for a revelation.
Amen.
I'm thankful that it wasn't me.
That's right.
And I'm thankful for a rest.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for I could come in here. You get to testify.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if no
Freedom.
One else wants to take the time, I will. Because this will be my service. This is my little bit of time that I have. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Boy, did that brother not talk such a Belinda up. Boy, what a surrender vessel he is. Did not God, I got to speak to God this morning. I got to see God today.
Amen.
I got to represent Christ
yes,
in my
right.
life. And I'm a surrendered vessel. And I see Seth is surrendered. I see Brother Mike has surrendered. You know, today I got to go and do something for someone. And, you know, so often when you're encountered with situations, the best thing I'm learning to do is to get out of the way. And don't, like Brother said, quit, don't touch that. They say something, you just say, well, God bless. I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to keep my spirit right. And if I did something wrong, if I took the check out to somebody and they didn't, you know, I just like, God, if you didn't want it, I'm sorry. If you didn't want that, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, I have
Amen.
Peace and rest over. Because, you know, people might look at your life and say, Belinda, you give a lot of your time away. I said, well, I have the choice to do that.
Right.
I'm in a place in my life where I can do that.
Right.
And thank God for that. You know, I don't
Amen.
Have to worry
Amen.
About this. I can take my hands
That's
off
right.
of so many things. I know what a surrendered life looks
Amen.
Like. I have body members who've shown me this. And, you know, if you're not where you're supposed to be, you better get where you're supposed to be.
Come
and
on.
I'm talking
get
to me.
It.
You know, and I say that because God's been good to me.
Amen.
I'm a testify
yes.
in 2024 like I did in 2023. I see that God's a moving God. I see that God is not one who
That's
to
right.
put, you know, lead on your feet. He wants you to come on, set
yeah.
me on fire for God. And I am on fire for God. Has not God not been good to me? Absolutely, 100%. Is not God good? And he's great. He's been good to me, and I thank God for that. I've gotten thank God that I don't have anything to do but to raise my hands and say, God, thank
Amen.
You. Thank you for showing me what I need to do, what I haven't done, but what I can do and do much better. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, that's I was just getting to that little Bethlehem in the house. And yes, please, just push me out the way.
Amen. Amen. Good to be here. And, you know, one thing the eighth day does for you, gives you a lot of energy. And I'm glad for energy, aren't you? And I enjoy the testimonies when they're burning. And maybe it's a plain talk when you say, I don't enjoy a lot of hot air. But I enjoy something that's real, and so it's good to be here. And I think I was here about a year ago on my birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday. Think about that.
Amen.
And you know, it's good to be here. I always count it a privilege to come here, and Gary's with me tonight, and. That's a pretty good fella right there. Glad to see Doug back there. All of you. But I remember years ago, and I wasn't there when this happened, and you may have heard me talk about this before, and it's a little funny. And but I have three brothers. My oldest brother, I couldn't have asked for a better older brother. I've got a middle brother, Gary. I couldn't have asked for a better one. And I've got a younger brother. Couldn't have asked for a better younger brother. And I get kind of stuck in the middle, you know, of all of it. So, but my oldest brother and Gary, they took an old car to the junkyard one time. This car was a big car. Didn't have no engine in it. So, but my brother Larry, he wanted to take the tires off the car. He got rid of the car, but he wanted to keep the rims and the tires. So, they went in there, and Larry loosened all the lug nuts, and he looked over Gary, and he said, okay, let's pick this thing up so I can take the tires off. Well, there was a guy sitting over here on this tractor thing that, you know, he would pick the car up himself. But Gary gets over there, and he just stoops right down, and picks that car right up there, and pulls the car off. Walked all the way around, and Larry looked over that man sitting on that tractor, and his eyes kind of got big. And so when it got done, Larry looked over at that guy and said, I always bring my bumper jack with me when I do things like this. And that guy said, bumper jack looks more like a crane to me. So, you know, over the years, we enjoy talking about things, reminiscing. And but, you know, Gary's been a real chum. And he and I have done a lot together. And so he and I's birthday are real close together. But Gary, over the years, he was a strong man. My brother was strong, much stronger than I was. And but Gary gave his life to his wife for many years. He'd go to work, and he was up countless of hours at nighttime waiting on her, and it broke him down. And but I'm glad he's here with me tonight. So he was happy to come. And but I wanted to read something to you, if it's okay. You know, I really appreciated
what the brothers had to say and her sister, something about revelation. And I really appreciate what Brother Seth said when he said, I'm not confused when I come here. To me, that was the whole key word right there, not confused. Now, the scripture compares faith with the grain of mustard seed. If you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain. And it will be removed. It speaks of that. Now, how many times have you been here and the word of faith has been preached, revelation has been preached, and it's helped remove mountains in your life? How many times has it removed things from you that you couldn't have removed?
That's right. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So think about that. Faith is not something that's confused.
Not at all.
All right, there it is. I've got it. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Amen.
So think about faith. Just for a moment. How many mountains have been removed in your life just sitting here in church? Not necessarily talking about a mountain. Mountains are beautiful out there. They don't give me no trouble. Oh, I love going to the mountains. Those kind of mountains don't give me trouble. But there are times in my life that I've needed mountains removed. Okay? I'm not confused. A mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Now, here's the thing, that a mustard seed will not mix with anything. The reason that Jesus compared faith with the grain of mustard seed, because it will not mix.
Amen.
And if you look up the word mix, it means confused. It means confused. Okay? So, to mix something means to confuse. Faith doesn't confuse itself. It doesn't mix itself with anything. It don't need to mix or confuse itself because it's perfect. Without faith, without unmixed faith, it's impossible to please God. The only way you can please God, don't be confused. Okay? Do you know, let me ask the question here. And I just kind of put some things down before I come to church, because I felt it burning on my heart to do this. Do you know why the new birth is a clear understanding? It's because it doesn't confuse who you are in Christ. That's why it's a clear understanding. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not confused when we're saved. God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Perfect faith does not misunderstand itself.
Amen.
Perfect faith does not confuse itself. Faith is a revelation. A revelation from God will not confuse you.
Amen.
God is not the author of confusion. And you know what? God hears our faith. That's what God gets in tune with, is with our faith. Not so much what we say. When we believe from our heart and make our confession. Listen. It's accounted unto us as righteousness. Because it is not confused. It's God's righteousness that's imputed to us when we believe it. And what we believe is what matters.
Amen.
He only asks you for one thing. Can you believe?
Right.
Ooh,
amen.
Amen.
That's good.
We have to look at things the way God looks at it.
Absolutely.
That's how you got to look at it.
Amen.
Think about Abraham. When God met Abraham and gave him a promise, Abraham believed God.
Yes.
And it was accounted unto him as righteousness.
Yes. Amen.
Now, Abraham started looking at things a little differently. You know that? 90-some years old, and he didn't even look at his condition. Think about that. He did not look at Sarah's condition. That's what unconfused faith lets you do.
Amen.
It'll let you look at things the way God sees it.
Yes.
Amen. Now, let's step out just a little bit on this one.
Come on.
I want to say this very respectfully, Brother Moore. But when Abraham looked at it, he didn't look at things that were. He did not pay attention at the condition.
Amen.
He looked at things that was not as if though they were.
Amen.
He looked at it, he looked at himself, I've already got a body change.
Already.
I've already got that son.
Already.
That's what unconfused faith does. It looks at it and says, I've already got a body change. I'm not looking at my condition. You have to look at it the way God looks at it.
Amen.
Amen. Step out on that's what Brother Sip was saying.
Yeah. Amen.
You, when God gives you something, He gives you an atmosphere. He creates something. You know what you got to do? You got to step out on it.
Yes.
When Brother Moore speaks the truth to you, step out on it.
Amen.
That's right.
It might be mom speaking to you.
Come on.
Might be your dad that talks to you. It might be a little child that speaks to you. But if God's speaking, step out on it. I've told this once before. But my grandson, he's married now. But when he was about 3 or 4 years old, he walked into a room. Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he told his grandmother's husband, might have been her boyfriend at the time, but he told that guy because the Lord told him. This little fella. But the Lord spoke to that little fella and told that man, you tell that man he needs to stop smoking. And he did. Went in there and told what God told him to do. The man wouldn't quit smoking, and he died. It pays to listen to God when He's speaking. God don't speak. God's not confused.
Amen.
So when God tells you to do something, you ought to do it.
Yeah.
Because you'll pay the price if you don't do it.
Right.
So when God met Abraham, He gave him a promise. Abraham's faith was not a confused faith. I put these things down. Here Seth talked about, hey, I'm not confused.
Amen.
But he had a positive faith. Abraham looked at his and Sarah's condition as though it was not. And when he went to town and began to tell him, they probably thought he was a fool. He's lost his mind. He's got amnesia or something. You know what happens when you get up in age? You begin to get dementia. You start talking and you lose sight. You even forget who your children are. He thought he's moved into amnesia or something. Or dementia, he's got something that ain't right. But he was telling him, guess what? I'm going to have a child by Sarah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He did not look at the condition.
Yes, amen.
And he stepped out on it. And it was accounted unto him as righteousness.
Amen.
Think about that. Let me read a quote to you, then I can step out of the way. I don't know who's going to preach him, but maybe they'll just cut it a little short, let us out on time. I think we've had some preaching already. What do you think? And I like the eighth day. You can't go no further than eternity, can you? That's an easy one there. That's an easy one. Lifting him up out of history. What about that? What a message title. Now listen to what he says here. You can't call him with your lips. He doesn't come by lip service. He comes by faith. Now listen to this right here. I put some things down. God hears your faith or the thought coming from your heart. Over top of the words coming from your lips. Sometimes we don't know what to say. We don't even know what to pray for sometimes. But the Holy Spirit is there that intercedes for you. Brother Brown, let me tell you a quick story about this. And I'll just kind of summarize a little bit. But he was praying one time, and he became so burdened about something. And he didn't know what it was. And he started praying and started praying. And it was time to go to church. And he started praying. He didn't know, Lord, what have I done? And Billy come knocking on the door. And Brother Brown said, you and the brother go on, and you guys sing, and you go ahead and preach. He said, Dad, something wrong? Just go do what I told you to do. He got kind of straight with Billy. And he started praying. All of a sudden, he began to hear a voice. And it was his voice that was talking. And he became so burdened. All of a sudden, the burden lifted. And he went and got Billy. And said, I'm ready to go. So he went to church. Now, in the meantime, this lady had a blood condition, and she was bleeding, and she was on her way to church. They wanted to get her to a church where Brother Branham could pray for her, and so the ambulance would not take her because they thought it would kill her. So they fixed her own car up and took off down the road, and they hit a bump. All of a sudden, she started bleeding out. So they got her out on the ground and said, I don't want to die in this car. So they got her down on the ground and got her out there and got her comfortable, and they started praying for her. All of a sudden, that lady gets up and she takes off running. Now, in the service, the testimony comes to Brother Branham about what had happened. Well, what had happened in his room, he was praying. The Holy Ghost was making intercession for that lady.
Amen.
And that's what happened. And she got healed right on the spot. When we don't know what to say, the Holy Ghost is there to intercede for us. Now listen, God hears your faith. Are the thought coming from your heart over top of the words coming from your lips? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now listen to this. You've heard Brother Branham says, our thought speaks louder than our words do. Well, take that in another level. The thought coming from your heart speaks louder than heaven, than what your lips has got to say.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The thought coming from your heart, because it's faith speaking for you.
Amen.
Our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words do. God hears our faith over top of our words.
Amen.
Let me finish up the quote here. You can't call him with your lips. He doesn't come by lip service. So if what you got to say doesn't come from your heart, it's just a lip service.
That's right.
Listen, he comes by faith. God hears your faith. Regardless how well you're able to talk about it, God hears that revelation that he gave you.
Amen.
When your faith, not your long prayer,
Amen.
You're burning out, but he comes with that little dim faith.
Amen.
That little grain of mustard seed.
Amen.
That way down in your soul that can take a hold and say,
yes.
It can speak for you.
Amen.
That little pain that brought me to this tabernacle tonight,
oh my,
can light my soul afresh.
Yes.
Can send me away from here a burning and singing just like the birds in the air. Why? He's a historical God and a present day God. So what does that tell you? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Isn't that wonderful to know those things? We do not have confused faith. Amen, Brother Seth. You said it right. You said it right. Key of G. Hallelujah. One of them, oh, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say help me. They were
gathered in the upper room, all singing. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost,
and power for service came down on him. For them
in that day, he'll do for you the same. So I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm so glad.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's been beautiful so far. You know, I got two little scriptures here I want to read, and it's kind of interesting because both these scriptures have nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about tonight. But I had a thought, and God wouldn't let me have that thought, and I came across another scripture, and God said, that's the thing I want you to talk about today. But these other two scriptures, I saw them, and I says, I just cannot pass these up. And Brother Don, you started out with this. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. We have faith, and this world is overcome. There is no way that this world can touch us. And the other scripture I had is even better than that, if it's possible. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Just like Jesus. And I looked at that and I said, there is too much similarity between me and Jesus. Too much. He knew what his job was, and I know what my job is. Amen. So I want to talk about 2nd chapter of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. And I read this and I said, this applies to me so much. And I could not get past it. I read this. So I'm going to just go through this one chapter, and then I'll get out of the way. The rapture didn't happen, so we have to get up. Dwayne and I said, let's pray for the rapture between now and 7:30. So God had another purpose in here, and I just praise him for it. I kind of laugh at God because I got up last Wednesday, and I said, Lord, I just want to be surrendered to you. I just want to do what you want me to do. And lo and behold, if at the end of service, if God doesn't say, I want someone to get up. And I had to identify with James when he said that if someone sings his song, he has to follow his testimony, and he has to get up. And I just thank God for that, because I do. I want to be surrendered. Brother Jerry, you are right. You know, it has to come from here. You know, if it's just lip service, it won't do any good. It won't bless anyone. It won't do a thing. So if it's just lip service, God, use me. Get me out of the way. Because the one thing I do know, I have a revelation.
Amen.
That's one thing.
Amen.
I know I'm a son of God.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind there.
Amen.
You know, I have had so many thoughts in this week. And it's kind of a beautiful thing because it puts the pressure on you and you dig. You know, and I was thinking, you know, we all have gifts. You know, and I was thinking, well, this isn't your gift, John. You know, this isn't your gift. And then right as soon as I said that, God said, you know what? Might not be your gift to sing. Does that mean that you don't sing? Might not be your gift. And he went through these things and he's saying, it might not be your gift to do this. And there might be someone whose gift it is. And sometimes you got to get out of the way and let that person, you know, do express that gift. But it doesn't mean that you sit back. And it doesn't mean that you don't do your part. And even if it isn't your gift, you do your part. And I says, okay, Lord, you got me so cornered. I will do what you've told me to do. So anyhow, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this brought in a lot of other verses to me. And I just want to go through them. And I'll just give you what God has shown me. And I, brethren, when I come to you, come not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And I thought, that is so me. Because I'm not going to come with great words. I'm not going to be able to pull quotes out. I'm not going to be able to, you know, run through the Bible like a minister can. But I can do what I can do. Because God has given me what he's given me. And I said, it's not by knowledge. You know, I can't be educated into this thing. You know, this thing has to come from God. And that's where the rest comes from. Because the rest comes from God steps into this flesh. And it's God using this flesh. And I just surrender to him. And I say, Lord, if it doesn't work out, it's you. Because I'm trusting you. So I said, Lord, that, because when I read that first verse, I said, Lord, this is me. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
That made me think, you know, God is the Word. He told us that. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word. And it says, and the Word was with God. And it says, and the Word was God. So when that Word is spoken, the revealed Word, not a denominational Word, not a Word mixed with my thoughts, not a Word mixed with leaven, but that true Word, that is God. That is God in flesh. So when the minister speaks to us, that is the Word of God, that is God in flesh speaking to us. And that's why every time God speaks to me, I say, let me do. Not just hear, but let me do. And that's my part to do. I am saved. I have my eternal life taken care of. And that's where we say, I don't have anything to do, but I have something to do. Because I get marching orders every time I hear the Word of God. And even more than that is that the Word was made flesh. If you go to verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And what can I say in this day? In this body, not in one person anymore, but in this body, the Word has been made flesh and dwells among us. So when you talk to your brother and sister, when you talk to me, I am God in flesh. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Amen. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men, wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And that made me think about Revelation 10, but not that first part of Revelation, but that last part of Revelation. From, yes, verse 8 on, that I would take the book. Now, I had to take the book. It wasn't pushed on me. I had to willingly accept and take that book. And I ate that book. And it was sweet. But there came a cost with it. And that was the bitterness. There came a cost with it. But then he says, go forth and prophesy. And well, who did you prophesy? One of them are kings. There will be people in this world who are far more learned in the Word. Know the Hebrew. Know every verse in the Bible.
walking Bibles. We've met them all. But there's one little component that's different. That someone as humble as me, someone who knows as little as me in a sense, they can out-preach me, they can out-Bible me, but they can't out-believe me. They cannot out-believe me because, as you say, Brother Jerry, it'll come out of their mouth, but it won't come out of their heart. You know, you can be sincere. Brother Branham told us you can be sincerely wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. And then we get to verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's where it comes from. It is the power of God. It is nothing but a revelation. It is nothing but God speaking lip to ear to us. That it's all been rolled back. The thunders have simply sounded. In other words, we know what the Bible says. You know, you can make that real complicated. But it's simply, we know what the Word says. When we read the Bible, we know what we're reading. My wife and I will sit there and we'll read the Word of God and we understand it. And it's not that we have some sort of tradition put to it. We truly understand. Not because of me, but because a prophet has come and the prophet revealed it. God revealed it through a prophet. And it is just beautiful. However, we speak with wisdom among them that are perfect. And there's only one group of people that can be perfect. One group of people, and that's the bride. Yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world, that comes to nothing. All of their education, all of their hospitals, all of that good they do, all of their protesting, all of their sacrifice. I was raised Catholic, and I was raised with priests and nuns who took vows of poverty, and they were celibate, and they took obedience, and they prayed, they got up in the morning, and all of that's of naught. Now, I'm not saying that they're all lost. There's foolish virgins in there. But what they did didn't do a thing. It was a stink in God's nostril. When you read Revelations, my goodness, we've been reading Revelations this week, and he hates the whore. He literally hates the whore and her daughters. And her daughters. And they have a place. And he is going to cast them down. I mean, he goes through verse after verse about them. I said, God help those people. God help that system. There's good people. You know, I love my family, but the system is totally wrong. The system is totally wrong. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In a mystery. I can speak that mystery, and like you say, Brother Don, I can say the words, and one person, they hear the words, they think they know what I said. Another person, they know what I say. It is a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. And you know, that made me think about Romans. You know, you end up in Romans. And I'll have to read this because this is good. For whom he foreknew, predestination through foreknowledge, God knew that I would love him. God knew that Isaiah, as you said, when I stumbled in here all those years ago, not knowing what this was, thinking, oh my goodness, this country's singing. What is going on here? These people are crazy. They were speaking in tongues at that point in time. I'd never heard any of that. But through his foreknowledge, he knew that I would pick it up. So then he predestinated me. And he put that little seed in me. And he did that in his mind before the foundation of the world. So as you say, Seth, I wasn't saved on any particular day. I've always been saved. But there was I was born because I was born in sex. That old man had to be burnt out. He had to die. He had to die. Not remade. I'm not fixed up. It's dead. And that's why there's no judgment for me. I already went through that burning out. So when I go to White Throne Judgment, I judge. Because I can do a righteous judgment by the Word. But anyhow, let me stick to it. whom he did predestinate, he also called. My goodness, he called. And when he called, he also justified. So we see he did it all. And whom he justified, then he's also glorified. So it is finished. So like Jerry, I can look at that. I'm all ready. And when I'm waiting for the rapture, but look for things that as if they are, that they're already here. I like that. I like the way God does things because I was very insecure. And then the testimonies came along. And I said, well, God, you must really want me to say those things. Because a lot of what was said went right with what God showed me. So I just thank him for that. Which none of the princes of this world knew. You know, and I was thinking about that because the Jewish population, the Jewish people, they had to crucify Christ. But Brother Moore brought to us, made it balanced, you know. We're always balanced. That God has a place for the Jewish people. You know, they played their part. They were blinded. God blinded them so that he could have a good Gentile bride. You know, and as you say, Brother Don, you know, Ruth got a little different thing than Naomi did. You know, went a got to see all the secrets. And that's what God has done with this bride in this day. We know all the secrets. He, like he said to Abraham, you know, he won't keep anything from his friend. But I'm more than a friend. I'm more than a friend. Amen. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about that because Jesus told us, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, and he told us if it wasn't so, he wouldn't have told us that. And the Revelation is even better. Revelation is our book. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for former things have passed away. He has prepared for his wife a beautiful place, and it's beyond my comprehension. I can't even think about it. There was one time eternity scared me to death. I said, Lord, just blot me out. I really did. It overwhelmed me. You know, sometimes you can think too much on things. Sometimes it's good to be simple. Sometimes it's good just to believe and not to say, oh my goodness, forever and ever and ever. But praise God. But God has revealed them to us by a spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And you know, I looked at that and I said, there's a quote that I want to be able to bring in. It's a quote we use all the time. And it's a quote that Jeremiah smiled. I can see why. Smiling. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And you know what I'm going to say. The new birth is Christ. It is a revelation. God has revealed to you the great mystery, the deep things, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together with the revelation? It's perfect in harmony. Perfect in harmony. And God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same actions he did. The same thing he did, making the word manifest. We manifest the word every day, everywhere we step. Oh, if the church only knew its position, and we know our position, it will one day, and it does this day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. There is nothing holding us back. Nothing holding us back. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely given. I just had a receive the book, ask for the book, and eat it, freely given. I didn't do anything for this. I didn't do a thing. I tell you, I did not do a thing. And he has done so much for me. You know, I was also thinking where you, Jerry, you were talking about the Holy Spirit and how it does things for you before you even know it. And you look back, I think any one of us, you can look back on your life and you can see how God did things for you before you even know that you needed those things done for you. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. A spiritual man looks for spiritual things. A spiritual man is directed by God. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. A natural man, this is Greek. This is gibberish. This is something they can't understand. They would look at what I believe and they would say, you're just making an excuse for unclean living, or you're making an excuse for something. They just wouldn't believe that. How can you talk like that? How can you say those things that you're taking care of? You could commit a mortal sin tomorrow. And I lost my place. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he has instructed him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Sons and daughters, equal. Equal. Also, so it's thinking about the threefold purpose of God. And he's poured that into me. He has poured that into me. So thank God. He's a great God. Dwayne, I will turn it over to you. This is my son-in-law.
All right. It's good to be here. It was in June when Brother Moore had asked the brothers who wanted to get up. I'll speak for myself. I moved too slow. And I got in trouble. And I didn't like that. And when he asked again, I would say, maybe I moved too fast and I'm in trouble again. So, because here I am. But because I saw Brother Allen, I was like, he can have it. Like, God bless Brother Allen. I will, but I do want to be sensitive to God. And I do have a thought. I'm excited about it because, and if I do make a mess of this, I listen to God. I got up. So, amen. Brother Moore said something, I think it was on New Year's Eve, and it's really kind of really helping my brain. In a sense, he said, if you knew that God was coming back this year, that would just change everything. It would change, it would put perspective on things. And I really have, and whether God is coming back this year or not, I'm just going to think like he's coming back today. And that puts things in perspective. And it's like Sister Courtney says, we're going to have a good day or a great day. And the services have been really good. We've talked about the redeemed, the kinsman redeemer. And last week we talked about Boaz winning Ruth and just that type of Jesus wanting his bride. And that's been exciting. And we all know we came the wrong way through the sex act, and we had to have that perfect lamb. And that's that perfect lamb with that grace stepped in. Jesus stepped in, and he paid our debt. And I love it, like on Sunday nights, we talked about every elect seed will be there. Every predestinated seed will be there. All eternal life will be there. You don't have to worry about that. And so my thought really came from Sunday morning and Sunday night. When Brother Moore, he was talking about the Old Testament saints when they were in hell, and he talked about they were waiting on a Redeemer. And then on Sunday night, we talked about how every class of people needed grace, needed that amazing grace. So I just really want to go through a couple things tonight, so bear with me. And my title is, And Then Jesus Came, an Amazing Grace. And we're just going to talk about that eternal cloth because it's all eternal. Whether you're the bride or the Old Testament saints or you're the Jews or no matter what class, it's that eternal cloth and you'll be there. But you, we needed Jesus. And just real quick on the Old Testament saints, there was a quote from Brother Branham, and he talked about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, all the prophets. They trusted and believed that there was coming a resurrection, that the Redeemer was coming. They prophesied of him. Enoch prophesied of him, rested solemnly, sealed his testimony with it. Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they rested solemnly upon the time that the Messiah would come. And then Brother Branham kept saying, and I can hear Jesus say, Satan, come here. It was after he was crucified. Satan, come here. He's boss now. Reaches over and grabs that key of death and hell off his side, hung it on his own side. I want to serve notice on you. You've been a bluff long enough. I'm the virgin-born son of the living God. My blood is still wet on that cross, and the full debt is paid. You have no rights no more. You're stripped. Give me those keys. That's right. Turn around and give him a good, healthy kick and slams the door together and says, stay in there. I'm the boss from now on. And if you look at the scripture, Matthew 27:52-53, it talks about, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints were slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And Jesus came unto them. They waited for him, and they got to be with him. If you talk about that eternal class, the next part, that's us. There's a 2,000-year-old bride. It got pretty dark. But at the end of that, 1963, and Jesus came.
Amen.
No matter what we are going through, and I'm so excited about that. Amen. You know, I thought about this, but the bride's an individual story too. So I had to think about myself. And I was thinking at my darkest hour, I remember, and Jesus came.
Amen.
It's been, I know I talk about it a lot, but it's been 25 years.
Amen.
I still remember going to Cave City. And I thought I was going to split hell wide open. I really did. That was real to me. Some days I thought it was. Some days I thought it wasn't. But Brother Childers talked about grace. I never heard it like that. It changed my life. But I still was conflicted because I didn't know the understanding of three realms. So that was a real weird molting season. But the Son of Man visited me in North Carolina. My life's never been the same. I've been up here ever since. God came in my darkest hour. I'm very thankful for that. And then we read this a lot, but for the bride, 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18, those are ours. That's our scripture. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, wherever comfort one another with these words. And then on that cloth, you have the Jews. You have 144,000, and we've talked about them. And Israel is saved as a nation. We know this, and we already see it. They're going through it. You know, the whole world's turning against them. And I look at it, and it breaks my heart because, you know, God loves his people. And be careful touching them. And we know in Revelation 11:3, it says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. And we know that because Brother Branham, it's Moses and Elijah. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in a sackcloth. But I was really trying to look into this, and I liked it. But I found this in the Feast of the Trumpets in 1964 from Brother Branham. It says, remember, the bride's already in heaven. Because we know after we leave, we go to the wedding supper, and then there's a tribulation of 3.5 years. So remember, the bride's already in heaven. Joseph's wife was in the palace. And Joseph dismissed everything from around him, and he made himself known to his brothers. You see, his wife and children and them was in the palace, and he returns back to make himself known to the Jews. There's the atonement. Christ died for our sins. There's your sound trumpet. There's where they say, oh, what is it? There's the atonement. Where was them wounds come from? That's Zechariah 13:6. In the house of my friends. Remember what Joseph's brothers said. Why they said, now we will be killed for sure enough. We did that. We did the evil like that. He said, no, God did this to save lives. You remember the story in Genesis. See, so did he do it this way to save the life of the Gentiles, the bride. Said, I got them in the house of my friend, but don't be angry. Don't be afraid. God loves them. Those 144,000 will be just fine.
Amen.
And then Jesus came to them too. And then next, I just want to quickly talk about the foolish virgins. And then I actually found this as I was looking up some things. I found this on our Fairborn Community Tabernacle page, and I got excited because that's what Google pulled. I was like, hey, that's ours. So this is it talked about those foolish virgins. We know they're here during those 3.5 years, too, and they go through it. And it said, this is from Brother Branham. Secondly, there's another class. Their names are also in the Book of Life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Such are the foolish virgins and the righteous, as are spoken of in Matthew 25. In this class also are those who do not worship the beast or become involved in that Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again, but they will come up in that second resurrection and go into eternal life. And our ministry said, Brother Branham was very clear on the foolish virgin class. They do have eternal life. They missed the rapture because they were not born again before the rapture, but they came up in the second resurrection of the white throne judgment. And they do have eternal life. They are not annihilated. They have eternal representation. They have eternal life. In that scripture, I'll just read a part of it. That's Matthew 25, 32, and 40. He says, Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer them and to them, Verily say I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And those foolish virgin will also get to meet Jesus, and they'll be just fine on that day. And then I'll just close this up, but even the class of all wrongs will be made right. You know, Revelation 24, and God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And as I was looking at this, I also found Brother Branham had a message called The Darkest Hour, and then Jesus comes along. And I'm just going to read this quote, and I'll get out of the way. It said, the darkest hour that little family had ever seen. I listened to it this morning. He was talking about Lazarus. The darkest hour that little family had ever seen. He was talking about Lazarus. Then Jesus come by. Maybe you went to every doctor in the city. This may be your darkest hour, but Jesus has come by. Maybe it's the darkest hour you have ever seen, or you have ever seen you or you. Maybe the doctor has given you up. But then Jesus comes along in your darkest of hour. It was the darkest hour the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had ever seen. They walked right into the fiery furnace. And right in the darkest of hour, then Jesus came along. That's just like him, isn't it? In the darkest of hour, it was the darkest hour that little woman had ever seen that had the blood issue. No way for her to get in the prayer line or nothing. She spent all her money for doctors and none could help her. She had a blood issue for years, weekly, probably sold all the farm tools and everything. Poor little thing, sitting up there maybe knitting for a living or something. The darkest hour she ever seen. And Jesus came along. And I just wanted to encourage you all, no matter what we're going through, Jesus has come along. Amen. And that's his amazing grace. And like Luke 21 says, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up, our redemption draweth nigh.
That song says, then Jesus came and wiped away my sin. Something to that. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. Come on, musicians. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. When Jesus comes, all is changed. When Jesus comes to stay. Let's sing that. That's something we don't sing that often. Amen.
Hey, Dad.
Yes, sir, David.
I just want to thank God for another opportunity to be here. You know, I didn't even know I was going to make it tonight, but and then here I am testifying. That's how God works, you know. Amen. He works in mysterious ways, and I thank God for this word and for this ministry, because it's everything. It's been my whole life, and
Amen.
I stand on this word, and it's Amen. It's the truth, and I love it, and
Amen.
I can't do without it. God bless
Amen.
You guys.
Amen. That's what you do. Just put it up there. You know what page that is? In the songbook? Maybe C. The verse starts out, one settles long beside the highway begging. 100? I thought it was in there. One set along beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Unclean, unclean, the leopard cried in torment. The deaf, the dumb, in helplessness stood near. The fever raised, disease had gripped his victim. Then Jesus came and cast out all revenge. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all the tears are wiped. He takes the gloom and fills the light with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Oh, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. Makes all the difference in the world. He, when he comes, he gives us everything we need. He starts by giving us faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So it starts there. You can't even do anything until you receive faith. And then once you get the faith, that puts you in action. Faith is an action word. You can't tell me you have faith and believe something and there's no change. You can't tell me you have faith and believe something and there's no movement. You can't tell me you have faith in something and nothing ever moves forward. When faith comes, it's an action word, and it puts you in, it produces something. The Bible says faith without works. See, we want to think that it's just faith and faith alone. I'm sorry. Faith causes works.
Amen.
It produces works.
Yes,
so it starts out when he comes to you. First thing he does is give you faith.
Right.
And he gives you just enough faith to take a step.
Yes.
You don't know it all. Just enough to get started with.
Amen.
And then you step out on that word, step out on that faith. If the faith is just to believe him and repent and be baptized,
step out on that. And you know what? Once you do that, you'll sit here and you'll be listening to the word and it start making sense to you. Because what's happening is he said, okay, you believe that. You've acted upon that. Now let me give you a little more faith. And it gives you a little more faith. And it gives you a little more faith. And next thing you know, you got 10 years worth of faith. You've been walking this thing 10 years. Don't know how you got here. But you know what? You've been here. 20 years, been here. 30 years, been here. 40 years, been here. Next thing you know, the body change happened, and it happens because of faith. Amen. We believe just like Abraham did.
Amen.
To the body change. God said, I'm going to get a body change. God said, I got the promised son coming for me. So he said it, and I'm believing it, and I'm stepping out on it by faith. And to prove who we are, nobody can understand what we understand. Because faith and revelation is one and the same. It's interchangeable. Faith is revelation. So as you get more understanding, don't discount that, thinking, oh, well, I believe God, I understand it, but God's got to come and do something. No, that is what God does. He gives you an understanding, and then what you didn't see, you all of a sudden see. What you didn't understand, you all of a sudden understand. What you didn't believe, then all of a sudden you believe. And next thing you know, you're walking out here and you're doing things and you don't even, you're like, well, how did all that happen?
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
By faith. You stepped out on it.
Amen.
Then Jesus comes, he takes care of everything that we need. I appreciate all three brothers tonight.
Amen.
See, they were all worried that they were only going to have 5 minutes each. They were only going to have 5 minutes worth of talk. And so they were all concerned about that. Then Jesus came.
Amen.
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 That's how it works.
Amen.
And you were it all week.
He provided.
And all God wanted you to do is trust him. And then
Amen.
Then your brothers got up behind Brother Allen, because, you know, it's hard to follow a preacher.
Amen.
And you brothers got up behind him and did an excellent job.
Excellent.
I don't know why y'all was worrying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody can do this. No, I get it. I get it. The nervousness is there. It's the sincerity. You're sincere about this thing. And you don't want to get up here and say anything to God. You don't come lying to God and making stuff up. But as long as you stay behind your revelation, you'll be fine. I don't care if you only have one or two revelations. If you get up here and say those things, that'll be right in line with what God's word is, and it'll edify the body. The body was edified tonight, so I appreciate that. And I don't know what got hold of Seth. And we're going to have to turn him loose on a Wednesday night. Give him the whole Wednesday night, so he'll have plenty of time. Because he's like, I'm going to take my time tonight. Well, I like that, Seth. It's like, this is your service. And so I enjoy it. I'm glad that we have the flexibility and freedom to be able to do that, because, you know, God wants to be able to come and talk to us.
Yes.
And if we have it so boxed in to what we think God's got to say, or how he's got to come, or when he's going to come, and we know all the things, you don't give God no room to do anything. Be flexible. If God walks in on a Wednesday night, to give it to him. You know, let him have it. Let him do as much as what's on his heart. And then if I get my brothers up, I don't tell them what to get up and say. I just say, get up. You know, do what you feel led to do. And speak your heart and do what you do. And when you testify, do the same thing. You know, Micah testified a while back, and I'm still using his. You know, I'm going to do a reset. I'm going to, you know, get this thing right. You know, I want to make sure and that's a good thought. That's been with me for a couple of, I don't know, it's been a while since he said it, so it must have been a month or two back. But, you know, that's good. It's body edifying itself in love.
Yes.
And we'll do that as we go through this life until we get out of here. So I appreciate Brother Allen and coming, and Brother Gary coming with him. It's good to have you all here. I've been announcing that I'm coming down on the 28th. Unless you change your mind and call me and say not to come, I'm going to come, and I'm going to bring a few people with me. Some are going to be with me. The rest are going to be here. And we're going to have a good time. Looking, huh? Amen. So it's good to have them here, and come back anytime. And don't forget Sunday coming up. We'll have Sunday morning and Sunday night service. Bible study Sunday night. Amen. So I had something here I was going to sing. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. That ain't the song I'm looking at, but this is the song I want to sing. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, He's the Almighty God. Yes, He is. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him. And forevermore, I will reign with Him. All hail King. Come on, brother. All hail,